I'm Real Mike Rob, and this is the R&B Podcast. Drop that beat!
Yeah! Oh, no, no. Yeah! Well, I had a long day, not really trying to go out.
Not really trying to go out, baby.
But my lady got all dressed up for a night on the town.
For a night on the town, but that ain't going down. See now, baby, I got some stats for you. I know some real players who can spit some facts for you. Teach you how this game go down. As they analyze the winners, they might shout my name out. Cause you bad, mommy, we can judge.
Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
Woo, that never gets old. We got our own song, man. We got our own song. I wish we had our own money, but we got our own song.
We got the offseason, too.
Yeah.
All season long and the offseason.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm Real Mike Rob. Nate is still on vacation. We have a packed show today, co-hosted by Rand Gatlin, the one, the only, you know, Rand Gatlin with all the information. You got anything to give us?
Oh, man, we got all kinds of tea to spill.
Okay. That's what I'm waiting for. And we have two special guests. I'm a fan of both, okay? One Giants running back by day, a wordsmith poet by night, Rashad Jennings in the building. Rashad, thank you for being here today. Know what I'm saying?
Pleasure. The show.
And we have Jacksonville Jaguars stud wideout, number 31 on NFL Network's Top 100.
A.K.A. Jump Out the Gym.
Jump Out the Gym. Nittany Lion, all that. You know I got love for this dude. And his last name is off the chain. Allen Robinson, A-Rob. Thank you for coming today,
thanks
bro.
For having me, man.
That's what's up, man. This is the R&B Podcast, an NFL show from players and insiders. It's like we're in the locker room. So it's a sports podcast meets Hard Knocks. You know what I'm saying, Rand?
We're here for everything.
We're here for everything.
We run the gamut.
And we usually go all over the place, man. So they give me this sheet, right? And we're supposed to look at this and we're supposed to talk about a bunch of stuff, man. But a lot of the times, bro, it go all over the place. So be ready. Y'all ready for that?
We ready.
Y'all ready for some ad-libs and all that? So this is what we're supposed to talk about today, but I don't know if we're going to get to it all. We're going to get to know both of y'all, the increase of media in the sports world, working out who you guys working out with. TD has his special segment, or nah. And actually, TD, tell the people what they need to do to get involved with the podcast, man.
For sure. What you need to do, guys, is – go play some Pokemon Go action. No, I'm kidding.
Don't. What? No. I was about to say.
That's dangerous right now. People are using that to pull off armed robberies, so don't play no Pokemon
Crazy
Go.
Crazy world.
What you need to do is check out R&B Podcast, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, and Android, Google Play, wherever it is you listen to shows, and comment and spread the word.
Support the movement.
There it is. TD, thank you, man. Drop a beat. Let's get into it, man. Let's go. I'm going to sound like I'm a rap, right? But it ain't going to actually happen. Yep. I'm the hype man. Right. See, Nate ain't here, man. Nate ain't the here, man. So I don't, you know. Oh.
Hey.
Hey. Oh. TD getting funky with it.
Hey. The beat go in, though.
That's how we do it.
We have a wordsmith.
Oh. I wish one of y'all a rap right now. Come on, eh?
Yeah.
What?
Body,
man. You got the big chains on, man. You look like a rapper right now, man.
Got the look for sure.
You got the look.
Hey, definitely got the look.
Shaw, you got something for us?
I ain't got no freestyle. I know I'm not a freestyle. I'm right.
You got a spoken word, though. You got a spoken word, though. We talk about more than just sports here on R&B. So let's get to know the men first. Rashad, tell us about your journey with the spoken word and with poetry, man.
Yeah, so I kind of – I'm an autodidact. Like, I love to learn. I can't help myself. I'm attracted to it. And so every off season, and even in college, I pick up some type of new craft just to keep me busy. Mm-hmm. And in college, one time I picked up the guitar, never put it down. Another semester, I picked up card tricks, and I never put it down.
What?
And so, like, during every off season in the NFL, I pick up stuff. And last off season, I picked up archery and poetry.
That's dope.
And it rhyme on purpose. But, like, it's just something that it expands my mind. It gets me away from football. It's fun for me.
Yeah.
And I just roll with it.
That's dope.
It started off as a joke. in the locker room. Everybody always freestyling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody. I'm the music guy in the locker room, so I got the big old boom box that ain't supposed to be in there.
Okay.
I got that thing cranked up. So on Friday, everybody come over. We freestyling. And so I'm the hype man. They know I'm going to hype everybody up.
Okay, so we're in the locker room. We're in the locker room right now.
We're in the locker room. They going.
You know what I'm saying? You hit a beat.
Yeah.
I know you got some. You know what you're TD trying to set you up, dog.
Yeah.
Trying to get you.
Always.
But, no, that's kind of how it started. And somebody's like, hey, Rashad, you freestyle. I was like, no, I'm too poetic for y'all. And so it was a joke. Well, let's hear some poetry. And I was like, all right, give me a topic. So we just started planting around there. That's where it started at.
So you basically can hear a topic and go in? So it's like freestyling poetry?
Yeah, like at some point I come back to it. It ain't off
like rapper then.
Nah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
it's a
different rapper.
Feel. Like it's kind of, like I wrote, all right, so playing the guitar, I just wrote a couple songs and I had somebody else catch the melody and sing. Writing a song and writing poetry are completely different,
yeah.
In how they sound.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, to get it to go together.
You know that cats are using ghostwriters these days, so there's a need out there.
Yeah, that's true, man. Maybe you get in the OVO camp, man.
Shots fired.
I'm playing. Nothing but slappers from Young Drake, so I'm not angry. Well, that's dope that you picked up poetry. Oh. It's something that you said you each year look for something new to build upon. Outside of poetry and archery, what are some other things you've learned in the past that have become passions of yours?
To become passions. Well, I mean, I'm philanthropically driven. Like, I do a lot of stuff through foundation in my community. Because I was a short, overweight, chubby kid, man, with glasses and asthma. I had a .6 GPA average at one point in time. 275-pound fifth-string running back. Talking about when I play in the NFL. So I had to overcome a lot of adversity to get here. And if I didn't have somebody come in my life, not to change me, just guide me in the right direction, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So I'll focus on mentorship because that helped me. And if I didn't, you know, start taking ownership and responsibility with my academics and have people help.
Yep.
I wouldn't be here with that .6.
Yeah.
So through the foundation, I focus on reading, education, and literacy because I had a reading comprehension deficit.
Yep.
And then my little chubby self, you know, I had to learn how to eat right and take care of my body. So health and fitness is a part of my foundation too. So that's like my heart passion that I put a lot of attention to during the off season.
That's beautiful, man.
Well, that's dope, man.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Appreciate you.
That's dope, man. You got something like you. And I always tell people, man, find a purpose other than football. Like, I always tell young guys, find a purpose other than football. I know we all loved it. It afforded us a great career, money, all of those things. But you have to find another purpose, especially when you get to me being retired, bro. Because if not, you know, you think, oh, wow, if it's no more football, I mean, what do I do now?
Right.
You know, me and Marshawn just had this conversation this past weekend. Like, he's like, bro, I'm having fun. You know, I'm doing my thing, man. But it gets to a point where you crave that schedule. You crave something else to get you going. Because at first it was football. Let's flip gears. Go to Allen. Hey, Allen, you appeared on tattoo competition, Ink Master.
Yeah.
When'd you get your first tat, and what is your favorite tat?
My first tat, I want to say I was about 15.
15?
Yeah.
Your woman signed for that?
She did. Well,
get out of here,
still,
man.
Still got it, or you got it covered up?
No, I still got it.
Yeah.
You got a good tat.
Oh, I've been just one of my money.
I mean, for me, same thing. I was really struggling with in school and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So then, like, but I wanted this tattoo. So my mom just figured, she's like, the only thing that would possibly influence me would be the tattoo.
Let you get the tat.
Yeah. She told me if I had my GPA at a certain percent, then I'll be able to get it.
Okay.
And I got it done.
That makes sense.
Got it done.
Motivation.
That makes sense. Are you sleeved out and all
that? I don't really have nothing on the outside of my arms, man. But my favorite tattoo would probably be the Michigan catch.
Oh, you got that on you?
I do.
Oh!
Did you do that with the ribs?
Yeah.
I seen it. Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
I was at that game, too. What was it, 4 overtimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's just that Penn State love. We're not going to talk about Penn State. Okay, that was almost a setup for Rand to dig in, get in us right there, Allen. We're not going to set it up that way.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to jump into this now, man. TD, I'm sorry about this. Okay, I'm going to jump into this right now. I got to get Allen's take on this, man. Wideouts. I think you like in the top 5 right now. Give me your top 5, man.
Including me or excluding me?
You got to include yourself.
You got to include yourself. I'm talking about be real.
No, let's
be
make it
100.
If it's your top 5, if you're in your top 5, of course you include yourself.
Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah.
So I would say – I got to go AB, Julio. That's tough. AB, Julio, Odell, me and Hop.
I like that. That's a solid five.
No AJ Green in there.
That's what's tough, man. I had to say him and Hop got to be 5A, 5B.
Hey, man, Hop had a year, dog.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
And dude can get open, and he had like 25 quarterbacks, too.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like all in one
that
season.
He's been that productive with that many quarterbacks is crazy. You guys got a special thing going down there in Jacksonville as well, man. All the young talent that's out there. Like, I remember I told you before we came on, I spoke to you right before you got drafted, and we were talking about where we thought you should go and, you know, all these things. And you had this very quiet confidence about you. Like, there was no braggadocious element to him. It was just like, hey, I'm going to go out there and dominate. Like, people don't believe it. I'm going to kill it. And that was before his rookie year, and he went out there and crushed it. So it's got to be special for you knowing that, you know, people did sleep on you. You had a chip on your shoulder. You went out there and proved that you're one of the elite talents in the league. But now you look across the other side of the ball, and you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey, a guy like Miles Jack. Maybe now those are the guys that have the impact on the defense that you did on the offense. What's the buzz like down there in Jacksonville right now?
I think that's what's so special about us right now. You know, in practice, you know, it's – iron on iron, you know, with us now going against Jalen Ramsey, and then when I see on the other side of the field, you know, Hearns making plays, you know, it's just a constant, you know, challenge within the team, you know, as far as making plays.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's special.
That's dope.
That's dope, man. I tell you one thing, y'all don't have no. I'm gonna keep it real. Y'all ain't got no excuse this year. Y'all better win the South, dog. I got at least for my, you know, I'm picking y'all to win the South because I like Gus and all that, Gus Bradley and all that. But Rashard, he mentioned Odell in that. In that list, I think he's right up there too. Top receivers in this league. I'm hearing that you're kind of like mentoring him a little bit, kind of showing him how to be a pro. Talk about his growth this off season, and what can we expect from him next year?
Yeah, man, Odell, he's special. He really is special. Yeah. I remember his rookie year. You know how it is as a veteran. You start to look at rookies a little different and, like, cheer them on and try to figure out, especially which free agent got a chance to make the team.
Yeah.
So we're watching. It was me and Peyton Hillis at the time when I first got to the Giants. And we're watching everybody run in OTAs. Odell ran a slant. He missed the ball, right? But the way he ran a slant, I tapped Peyton. I said, hey, man, who is that kid? And sure enough, found out, you know, that's Odell. And but he's special, man.
Yeah.
But the thing about him that I like is he known as being a real flash. He likes playing the game in a certain way. He has fun.
Yeah.
But he never get recognized for how hard he worked.
Right.
And when he got hurt his first year, he came up to me. It was like, hey, Rashard, I see you take care of your body. Will you teach me how to take care of my body? And for a kid to have that much talent, and then to understand, look, man, I gotta get my stuff right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets with me with a lot of stuff. He uses the same MAT specialist, same massage therapist.
Yeah.
He uses my chef. Everything that I do, he just takes it and uses it. And, you know, I just watch a kid go out there on the judge before practice, after practice, do all this stuff. He practices catching the ball in awkward positions. So he can do it when it's game time. So I commend him for that. Definitely.
He's a special player, man. So last night I was at an event that he threw at Maxfield. It was him, Mike Amiri, who's a fashion designer, and they did this joint release for I think it's a line they might be doing. But his creative passion kind of shines through too. And usually if you're the kind of person that's got like passion in life, it's going to translate to different realms. And you can tell that he's just as passionate about his fashion stuff as he is about the football stuff. I knew Jarvis Landry and did a story on him coming in the league too. And he talked about how they pushed each other, kind of how you said it's in Jacksonville. And the two of them, the competition they've always had along the way, even though they were very dear friends, I think it elevated them to kind of like that next tier. Jarvis is another receiver who's not, you know, top five guy, but
he can ball, though.
He can ball.
He can ball,
special
though.
Dude.
He grinds, man. He run the ball like a running back, man.
Yeah. But it's good that they got folks looking out, you know, old heads now, right?
Yeah.
I'm 33. I'm an old head now. But, yeah, guys that look back and try and help the young cats understand how to skip steps because we didn't get to do that.
Right.
But that's a reflection of traditionally an organization that put good veterans in their locker room.
Right.
Has there been a difference in culture now that you got Ben McAdoo as the head coach?
I wouldn't say too much. You know, obviously, you know, when you talk about Coach Coughlin, that's a Hall of Famer, and you know, that's somebody you can't replace. But we definitely got the right person in position. The way he's articulate, the way he can command a room, he's in house. We have a good team, And we just need to pick up off the – you know, we did a lot of things well, but they were overshadowed
right.
by what we didn't do right. so well and losing six games in the last 10 seconds. anybody. So, as far as the culture, I mean, we just filled in some spots in defense we thought we needed to address. Got a new wave of rookies ready to rock, and everybody just excited, really excited to get the taste out of my from last year and get it rolling how we know we can play.
That's what I was going to say with those new defensive guys.
Yeah.
It's got to be a different energy out there right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We
they better defensively. I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. Defense won't great last year, man.
We got some guys coming off the edge.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But you talk about mentoring Odell. And, Allen, I want to swing it to you. Who down there in Jacksonville, has there been that guy that kind of mentored you? I know your wide receiver coach and Coach Sullivan, he was with me in San Francisco. Yeah. And that's a guy that's going to drive you. He's going to challenge you every day. Has there been anybody like that for you?
Yeah, I would say player-wise, you know, Mercedes and Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, just especially from Julius, you know, coming off of a team that went to the Super Bowl, you know, coming off of two Pro Bowls, you know, playing at the highest of levels, you know, in the same thing with Mercedes, you know, playing at the high level, you know, for 10-plus years, you know. So player-wise, those guys are kind of some of the guys who lead our offense, you know, as far as vocal leaders. You know, we have a lot of young guys, you know, and I think what's so special about that is, you know, we don't have anybody where everybody kind of just leave their ego at the door, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's all about for us, you know, just going out there and doing whatever is best for the team, you know. So if somebody needs to speak up or something like that, it's never any confrontation as far as, you know, one person, you know, not seeing eye to eye. You know, we know as an offense, you know, first and foremost, we have to all see the offense, you know, through Blake's set of eyes. You know?
Yeah.
That's something that everybody knows and that we're okay with. So I think for us, you know, we got a lot of understanding with our young offense as far as everybody coming together and bought in really with the system.
You like Chris Ivory down there?
I do, man.
Yeah, he's doing his thing.
I mean, whenever you bring a player like that into the offense, you know, another weapon, you know, who's averaged, you know, 4-plus yards a carry, you know, the past, since 2010 or something like that. You know, whenever you add that element, you know, it really helps us out.
Yeah. He might not be in my top 5 running backs, but he probably like in my top 15. And I'm interested to hear your top 5 running backs being a running back.
That's tough. That's top 5. Tough.
Top 5, dog. And it's even tougher when you probably didn't know you had to answer that question.
I mean, it's a slew of guys out there in no particular order, but Adrian Peterson definitely up there.
Yep.
I like Todd Gurley.
Yeah, he's on my top 5.
He's special, man. Who else we got to put in there? Top 5. You know who I like is old guy in Atlanta.
I like Freeman.
Yes. Devontae Freeman, yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, he's a screen. I love the way he runs screens, bro. Like, he's a smaller guy.
He had a fantastic year last year. They're talking about splitting carries between he and Tevin Coleman. You think about that. Coleman flashed a lot last year, too.
He just got fumbleitis, man.
He put the ball on the ground a lot. But they got two backs. They got two backs that are special down there. Should change the dynamic of the offense.
Who else you got, Sean?
Let's see. Who else we got?
It's hard, right?
I mean, we didn't see him last year, but you got to think about Jamar Charles. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Shady.
Shady, you know what I mean?
McCoy had his, you know, I mean, guys get hurt. I like Arian Foster.
Yeah.
He got, you know, so it's hard to say, like, justify why he's saying these, you know, these guys.
We talk about this all the time. They always try and get us to do, you know, who's the best player at the position. It's almost never that I'll say he is the best because so many different guys do things well, and they're the best at this thing, whether you're a possession receiver, speed receiver, whatever it might be on the receiver realm, on the running back realm. We got dudes that can cut back real well. We got dudes that can run with power real well. So I just like appreciating the top players, but the top 3 you mentioned, definitely in the mix. We had to do 2 more. Shady at peak,
got
to be in that top 5.
Shady? Yeah, I got Shady right there. I mean, because to me, you look at a guy like Matt Forte, you know what I mean? I still think he got juice left.
Yeah.
Matt Forte, go.
You know what I mean? I think he's just maybe not the shotgun runner that they wanted him to be last year in Chicago, but I think he could still go.
Yeah, and this is early, but a player that everyone is real hype about, David Johnson down there in Arizona. He had a good rookie year.
Yeah, he did. David Johnson
can play. Special, big, fast, catch
David
ball.
Johnson can play.
Yeah.
And hey, Richard, you mentioned with Odell when you saw him, like, hey, who's that guy? So from a personal point of view, was there any running back that you saw in practice or in the game and you were like, this dude's special, this dude's different?
As far as any running backs that just had something about them that, like, man, I haven't seen that in a while. I don't know, man. Listen, Odell's is just such on another level from what you see from this dude. It's And anybody to play with him will tell you. Like, he's one of the most athletic people I just watch, you know, just move around.
Yeah.
On the field. But, we got our guy, you know, Paul, he's got a little swag about him that's different. My fourth round draft pick, Paul Perkins. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a good player for us.
That's dope, man.
Today, one of the things that we like to talk about on the show, like the increase of media in sports and life, et cetera, and how it impacts all of us. How do you guys feel? Like, it's an oversaturation. You have so much media around you at all times. You got to be on your P's and Q's. We now have Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. These are all platforms that you can use to empower yourselves and grow your platform. But also, we've seen guys in the past frag themselves, not using them properly. And there's people ducking around corners with camera phones all the time. How do you navigate that world? At the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have moments that we'd rather not be photographed in. And yet, you guys kind of got to deal with this. New York City, big market. Jacksonville a little bit differently. But, you know, people know who you are down there. So what's it like dealing with that world these days?
I would say, you know, it's very overwhelming at times, you know. Yeah. But I think for the most part, you know, it kind of benefits a lot of athletes. You know, as far as, like you said, as far as, like, the brand and things like that.
Yep.
You know, and even by being in a small market, you know, through things like fantasy football, you know, with it being such a big thing, you know, on people like seeing on Twitter, you know, fantasy leagues and things like that, you know. So I think it's very beneficial. It just sometimes it can get overwhelming, you know, but that comes with it.
Yeah. You do a good job of interacting with people on Twitter as well.
That's dope, man. I've been seeing you do interviews and stuff over Twitter, just, you know what I mean, answering questions.
Yeah. What about from your perspective, Sean?
I definitely can even piggyback off him because I spent 4 years in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So my first 4 years and, you know, the media exposure really wasn't – I've been there. I get it. And but with exposure, that's it. It's exposure. Mm-hmm. So it's what you make of it, I truly believe.
Right.
You know, especially when it's coming from your voice. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about other people's opinions and interviews and other people's cameras and stuff like that, that's the other side of it that you can't control. And that's the other side of you talking about being on your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk for days about that. But for me, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think you get it to voice opinions. You get to show character.
Yep.
You get to show who you are.
Yeah.
Outside of X's and O's. And for me, especially in New York, I'm in a Mecca, man.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
Like, I've been able to open up doors that a degree would have never allowed me to
right.
do. You know, I got a cartoon with Nickelodeon coming out and a show. Y'all watch the TV show Power?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I'm about to be in that.
Hey. Huh? Oh, you finna be on there? That's what I'm talking about,
dog. Give us any spoilers, because I don't want to hear if Ghost actually
that's died. That's dog. Hey, man, I heard Ghost and Tommy's supposed to get to fight in this season like that. I know you can't say nothing, man. That's my show, though, dog.
It's,
that's my show.
It's fun. Like, I'm a kid, for real. Like,
yeah.
When
yeah.
I talk about being an autodidact, like, I got a big box full of ideas and wishes and all kind of stuff, and
right.
I come back to it every year based upon the network and where I'm at, and I keep adding to it. And being in New York, now I get to actually go present these to people. So,
yeah.
I mean, media is great to me, but it also scientifically means bacteria.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You got to keep that in mind.
Well, I mean, even on the flip side of that, man, and even I find myself kind of with this dilemma. You see what's going on just in our country. Let's keep it real. You see what's going on in our country. Do you guys sometimes feel like, I want to say something, but I can't tweet this because
all the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would say so.
All the time.
You know what I mean? And how do you deal with that? Do you have somebody that you lean on and say, look, man, should I tweet this? Because, I mean, I lean on my wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She tells me, don't do it. Got miles to feed, boy. Don't do it. You know what I mean? So how do you guys deal with that dynamic? I mean, knowing that you're people of influence and people want to hear what you got to say, but yet you skate that fine line because, I mean, potentially a job.
Yeah. And, Chad, you've been kind of outspoken about a number of issues. So for you, you know, you probably have a little bit different answer. Alan, the place that you're at in your career, you may not feel comfortable.
Especially by me being a real young player, it's funny that you say that because, I mean, a person that I just talked to, very similar situation about that yesterday with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of a person, you know, who always, you know, kind of guide me in the right direction with a lot of things.
That's dope, man. What about you, Rashad?
Yeah, man. Listen. Yes. To answer your question, yes. You do gotta kind of watch what you say.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but I always take the approach of, you know, I know I'm in an awesome responsibility position. I'm in a special position. Ain't nothing special about me. It's just a position. Anything I say is magnified. Yeah. So after occasionally I might want to go off and say some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I got family. I got friends. I'll go off at them. We laugh. But then, like, I'm okay, how can I sincerely address this and influence people to kind of come to either a common ground or influence them to see what I want them to see?
Right. So two things. It's special that you think that way. So clearly something special about you. And two, you don't stay around in the league as long as you have without having something special. So I like the humility, but you definitely got something going there. It's good to have players in to talk. We talk about these things all the time, and we always talk amongst ourselves. Mike obviously played the game at a very high level for a long time. So did Nate. And a lot of things that we get into are in the social realm. And so this kind of directly ties in for me. You know, we talk about this all the time. When I worked in politics, I worked with a lady named Jackie Parker. She was a godmother of the United States Black Legislative Staff Caucus. I think I got that right. But she'd been up there since the 60s, and she worked for Senator Carl Levin from Michigan. So she was like, she met me, and I was working for a Republican. And I said, hey, you know, I don't like working for the Republicans. I got placed in this office. Can I work for the Democrats? At the time, I thought I was a diehard Democrat. I said, okay, I'm going to work with you. You know, tell me your story. I told her, and she said, wait a second. You pass. You can walk into rooms and hear things that we don't hear. And it's true. I ended up walking into rooms and hearing things that you guys would never hear because they can't tell where my, you know, allegiances lie. Right?
Yeah.
So that piece of the puzzle is really important to me because there's that which we know about and we see and we can put our hands around, and then there's that which people don't know, this kind of like behind the scenes and more nefarious. And the fact that you guys are out here using your platforms in any way to shine some light on the problems we have in society and the fact that we need to do better, I think there's always a place for that. We just got to figure out individually how far we can go in spreading that message.
That's dope, man. Well said. TD, I know you got a beat for me, man. Nobody want to rap? Nobody still? Even though you got two big chains on. You know what I'm saying?
I used to be a little bit more reckless in college, bro. I might have spit a few bars in college.
You know what? Tyler Lockett is another spoken word guy, man. Yeah. Tyler Lockett, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, man. He goes in. I mean, literally, he was doing his footwork drills. I'm interviewing him, and he just goes into something. I mean, all spoken word, man.
We've got Lev Bell on the show. He actually has a mixtape out.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Who?
Didn't he rap about Le'Veon needing 15 Bell? A year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He might be the first back get that. It, man. He might be one of the backs to get it.
I saw that you were talking about it, right?
Yeah, man. He might be the back to get it, man. He does enough in this league. I mean, catching the ball, blocking, running the football, man. Over 2,000 yards every year.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
He could do it. Yeah. TD, you got an or-nah for us today, man?
Yes, sir. You know it. Or-nah, I ask you guys what's going on social media or in pop culture and if you're down or agree with it or not. So this question I have today is, coming off Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors.
Boo!
You guys, I guess I already know Mike's answer, but do you guys have any problem with athletes teaming up with other great athletes or not?
Come on, what y'all think about that? So if –
I think it's tough to say.
Well, football is hard.
That's what I was going to say. I think with the sports, I think that basketball is just really, like, it's magnified because the amount of people on the court is so small.
Yeah.
Like, in football, if you say for a receiver, you know, in free agency, he goes play with a real good quarterback or something like that, you know, it's not.
Breaking news, Allen Robinson to the Giants.
It's something.
Oh, and Odell?
So if you went to the Giants? Breaking news, would you go to the Giants, be on the other side of Odell? I mean, with all the receivers, you know. See?
Yeah, come open up the run game.
Yeah, there it is. Would you do that for a little less money? Because, I mean, would you do it?
Me per se, no.
That feeling you just had when I said that, that's what you would have thought that Kevin Durant would have had. Like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to do that.
Go with all of, why do you think he shouldn't? Or what is it about?
For me,
yeah,
I don't care that he left. Go somewhere. If you think you're in a, you go to a better situation, so be it. But I just have an issue of the fact that he went to Golden State. That's the only thing. You were up 3-1. You're a top five player. Top five players have something to do with whether you win or lose in that league.
Yeah.
You know, you have some. You were up 3-1. You lost three games straight, which means you had something to do with you losing three games straight. And then you go to the team that dogged you. Man. For three games straight, man.
I'm so excited about it, man.
I was about to say, I'm going to be the contrarian.
So look, if they don't to me, if they don't win 80 games in a championship, it's not real.
80 games?
80.
I got to say championship. Because you don't 80. Win for winning 80 games.
Eight, they won 73.
You were like a real true-to-life hooper, though, so you can speak to these chemistry issues. You hoop, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be solid because for them, I think that Golden State in general, they're an unselfish team, and they know that every time they step on the court, Kevin Durant's the best player on the floor.
Right.
You think they know that?
They know that.
You think Steph Curry know that too? After two MVPs back-to-back?
Especially this finals, I think Steph Curry know.
Man, come on, man. Yeah. I love you to death, A-Rod, but ain't that, no man. Way.
Made him
human. And my thing is this, too. I said the same thing with, like, Miami, with LeBron going to Miami.
Dwayne.
I think it was just his connection with Dwayne. It wasn't, like, if Miami had been the number one seed that year coming out the East or the number eight seed, or regardless, I think he still goes to Miami. And I think it was just KD connection.
Maybe. Being an MVP doesn't mean you're the best player on the court.
That's true.
You know, and I think, he want to win a championship. I'm sure. I mean, everybody.
Or three
everybody.
Or four.
Yeah. So y'all think that one basketball that is only allowed on the court can go around enough so that all of those, I mean, the U.S. Olympic team, basically, what they assemble, you think they all can have a shot and do their thing and be the man?
Three! That's all I want to see anyway. Shoot the three.
Oh,
I just want to know this. Why do NBA players seem to hate the East so much? Like, the West keeps getting stronger. The West is crazy, and the East is the Cavs. And
I think they should do playoffs in the NBA, just top 16 teams.
Right.
Let them go.
Instead of doing
– think so?
Yeah.
I mean, my thing is, like, the Cavaliers didn't lose their first game into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
In the whole playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they got the best player in the world, though. LeBron. So
He willed them to that championship. I'm just saying, the West is – I'm a Blazers fan, so I got selfish interest here. I'm sick of the West being so strong. I wish KD would have gone East. Take Steph, too.
I was hoping he kind of went to the East, though.
They needed hopefully somebody like that, man.
Hopefully, you know, the Knicks come around a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah. That's an interesting squad up there. They can stay healthy. Obviously, a lot of guys have dealt with injury issues, but they can stay healthy. Yeah. It's interesting, Scott.
They're putting together something over there.
How do you guys feel about the free agency, NBA free agency, with their new salary cap?
I don't
want
to talk about it.
Nah. Hey, actually, so I got a real question for you guys, though. So this is important. I've been reporting on the Von Miller situation, the Eric Berry situation for a very long time. Eric Berry or Von, you can pick either one. How do you guys feel about the way their situations are playing out? Here we are running up to the tag. Go ahead.
I said, I'll pick Von.
Okay. So picking Von. When you look at their situation, we're coming up to the 15th. That's the deadline for them to get a multi-year deal, or they got to play on the tag, or they got to decide to sit out, or they can negotiate a one-year deal, right? Those are their options. Well, right now, it does not appear from anything we've been able to see that the Eric Berry situation is moving forward in any meaningful way, unfortunately. And the Von situation is we're kind of at a stalemate. We're much closer. So I'm not going to get into specifics, but there was a big gap. And there were long periods of time where these two sides were not having conversations at all. This is a Super Bowl MVP. Didn't win.
Exactly. That's why I say. I mean, yeah. I think Von's situation is a lot more, you know, clear. Not taking anything away from Eric Berry, but I mean, this guy watching the Super Bowl game, watching the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
He is just a huge, huge factor,
right,
to that team.
So. If you have a player like Von on your team, non-quarterback, but I mean literally the man, right? And you see this going on upstairs, mm-hmm. How does that affect you in the locker room?
And you saying that
you're watching,
you're watching
your
this
teammate.
Play out, knowing that you may have a contract coming up at some point. All of that.
I think you gotta be kind of frustrated. I mean, you know, like you see the person that you play aside with. You know what I'm saying? Play. As the best defensive player in the league, play as the best.
You see all the hard work they put in
his position, and see what he's brought to the table, you know, and how he not willed, but you know what I'm saying, kind of, I mean, how he was just the main catalyst of that defense.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl.
And he won the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
He won the bowl for him, man.
Just to see it be such a tough, you know what I'm saying, process.
Right.
It's kind of frustrating just to watch, especially from a teammate perspective.
Right.
Like it's like, and then you see on the other side of it, like Allen Hurns.
Yeah.
You know, the work he put in, you know, what he brings to the table every day, you know, for him to get, you know, blessed with the contract that he got, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, those things should happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
100%.
You're watching a younger guy, especially watching it all happen. I mean, obviously, the older you get,
right,
you know, you understand.
More perspective.
You understand. Yep. But a younger guy watching. A vet that works hard, plays hard, MVP of this, you know, doing the right things, and it ain't happening.
Right.
It's like subliminally it's sending a message that like, all right,
you know, that's how they're going to do me. Like,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's our guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, give us, show us something. Give us, pay the person you want to see more of.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Give something worth mimicking.
Yeah.
And it's like it becomes frustrating in the locker room. So you got to break that down to the younger guys. Like, look.
Right. You know. Right.
Yeah.
Here's our place. So let me ask you this then. So the mechanism that Von, Eric Berry, and a number of others are currently, you know, being held hostage by, let's keep it real, is the franchise tag. So is that something in this next round of CBA negotiations that you guys are like, yo, if we could do away with the franchise tag, that would really help? Because if a player played, like Von's situation, played out 5 years, right, played his best football arguably in his last year, his contract year, he's supposed to get paid, and they say, you know, we're going to rent you for a year for 14, whatever it is, 14, 8, 14, whatever the number is. Wait a second. Olivier Vernon got X, right?
Exactly.
Fletcher Cox got Y. Now, so what's interesting about it is when they started these negotiations, the number was like, let's just use the Sue number. That was the number that it had to be to get it done. So let's say 61. Well, now we got a $75 million guaranteed contract out there in Andrew Luck. And Fletcher Cox got 63.5. So all of a sudden now the price goes up.
The longer you wait, the more the price
Well, think about it like this. A wise man once said to me, you don't get the benefit of yesterday's market today. It's not 99 cents like it was yesterday. It's $1.50 today, and you got to pay that price. So it'll be very – I want to say this.
I think it's kind of tough with the franchise tag, though.
Yeah.
I think in unique situation, it benefits some players.
Like Kirk Cousins. I was about to say, Kirk Cousins probably loves it.
A one-year number.
Well, because he's probably going to get franchised twice. Let's just be real. He's going to have, 32 games to prove himself to see if he wants a big-time contract because the market for the quarterback contracts are just continuing to escalate.
Right.
And so he could possibly make a little over $40 million in 2 years.
So here's
the like the going rate for quarterback,
which is crazy money. But here's the interesting
quarterback
thing. Again, if you look at, I know it's crazy. If you look at the Luck number and you say, okay, that's the top of the market for the quarterbacks, whole league, then the Cousins situation might be a better deal for him. But we don't know that yet because you can't really evaluate it until you get a couple years down the road and see how it plays out.
Well, Rashad, you represent yourself, right?
Yeah, I try to get away from agents as much as I can.
Why is that? Why'd you decide to go that way?
Well, being a player rep,
you understand.
Know, yeah, you're privy to a lot of knowledge, so you know you find out that all right, rookie minimum every year we're paying as an NFL union, you too, as well as you know you did. We're paying 3.75%. Of rookie minimum to our union, right, to handle all our endeavors. They're there. It's our offices. We make the calls. That's our entity.
Right.
Then I'm going to turn around and pay 3% to another person to pretty much handle some of the same endeavors that the 3.75% can. I'm going to try to gain as much money as I possibly can while I'm here. I like to learn. I believe I know how to intellect and I know how to call a company if I feel like, hey. So I just feel comfortable knowing that I'm this side, Rashad Jennings Inc. side, is working as hard as the guy on the field.
Right.
And I can't promise you that every agent is doing that. Matter of fact, I know every agent is not.
But I mean, have you actually had to talk to your general manager like on your behalf or yourself? Is that a weird conversation if you did?
Nah, I mean, it's not as strange. You can have a buffer. You know, you can put somebody there so you're not directly talking. You know
say,
what I mean?
Man.
But at the end of the day, everybody know what we're trying to do. If you play well, you want to go find a contract. That's fair. And general managers want good players to go play. That's really it at the end of the day. And it's all going to happen. But it does. It's a part of. I just feel that 3%, boy, when it hits you, every single person in that locker room, they always like, why am I paying my agent? What is he doing right now? What is he doing? And that's been the argument for a very long time. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some good agents.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a place for agents. Agents are needed, but not every single one. Some people are really playing the game.
I was going to say this point. Right. There's like 800-plus agents that were registered at last check. That's a lot of agents, 1,700 and semi-players in the league. So, you know, if you think about a guy, there are agents out there who represent 100 players, 90 players, 50 players. So if 10 guys have half the league, that leaves, you know, 790 fighting for everyone else that exists. So I understand your point. The flip side is Russell Okung. Mm-hmm. The deal that he just did.
And I didn't look into details.
It's a really tough deal.
Here's this, though. Eric Flowers. I'm training down in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
He was training there when coming out. I'm playing with the Giants. We had no idea we were going to be on the same team, but he just pulled me aside, was talking to me about stuff, and being a player rep and everything. And he kind of was toying about, man, I don't know if I want an agent. I broke it down to him. Encouraged him not to get an agent in a while because rookie contracts is slotted.
Slotted. You're not going to be able to do anything about it.
Can't do it. You know why I slotted? Because we're paying 3.75% of for a union to make sure we okay.
Yeah.
So he did it on his own. And he thanked me. He said, Rashad, man, look at this 3% to the contract he had. Look how much money I saved. Now with this, you can go invest. You can go, you know, you can go hire people to continue to work on your behalf. Do what you need to do.
That's dope.
It's interesting.
Empowerment, man.
That's dope.
On the situation that you coming into the league. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're kind of like a, you know what I'm saying, a tweener player, things like that, you know what I'm saying, not knowing where you may go in the draft, I think it's a lot of other factors into whether if you like a, you know what I'm saying, you're a solid top 10 player.
That's different.
You know, like top 10 by, you know what I'm saying, by all means. You know, it's a lot of different variables that, you know what I'm saying, that go into it being, you could be second round, third, fourth, fifth.
Well, there's other stuff too. Like I can tell you from my perspective, you know, I work with a lot of agents through the course of what I do in terms of like gathering information and figuring out what's going on behind the scenes, et cetera. There are some guys out there that have known front office cats for 25 years. Like, they came up. Like, they met when dude was an area scout, and he was a young agent. And they went out and had beers in Mobile, and they kicked it in Indianapolis every year for 25 years. You know, you get to the top. It's his player. He can pick up the phone. Yo, John Dorsey, let's get this done. You know, we've been knowing each other for a long time. Let's figure out a way to get this done. Whereas when you look at, you know, the situation with Von Miller right now, he's got a very capable agent. He's got a JD MBA running the show for him. So a guy that's very intelligent, has a lot of ability, and it's a very contentious negotiation. And Von now, understandably so, is taking a lot of it very personally. It has taken a lot of it very personally, you know, over this time because it's personal. He goes out there and he lays his body on the line every single day in betterment of a team goal. And when it comes time for the team to pay him, he feels like he's being disrespected. I get it. I've been through that. So for me personally, I've always wanted somebody between me and whatever organization I have to negotiate with, because it's the organization's job to always tell you you're actually not as valuable as you think you are. And it's my job to prove to them that I'm more valuable than they think I am. And if you don't have somebody in the middle, if you're an emotional person, and I am, it's going to go bad quick because I'm not going to listen to somebody tell me I'm not great. I want to be great. I'm going to push to be great. I'm going to work hard to be great. And at the end of the day, if I can prove on paper I'm great for you guys, I had X number of yards from scrimmage. I did X, Y, Z. This person's making $15 million a year for less stats. I mean, I want my $15 million. Like, nah, we'll give you $13. We'll rent you for a year. It's problematic. So the franchise tag is something that's got to be addressed at some point by the players, because if it continues to be the system, we're just going to continue talking about these situations like Von Miller, Eric Berry, others, where these guys deserve to get paid. I'll take the other side. Who deserves to get paid more than Eric Berry? You know, Von Miller definitely deserves to get paid, but overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know what I mean? He came back. He played better ball than he did in the first place.
But you know if we give up, if they the owners are going to look at it, we're giving up the franchise tag.
You got to get something in return.
You got to get
something
in return.
And that's
going to be the game you play.
It's complicated. Here's the reality. Yeah. This is true. This is 100% true. The only way that players will ever get any massive concessions from the owner is if services are withheld. That's it. Period. And it's the only time you see anything change during lockouts.
You heard it from Rand. There it is.
Look. I mean, it's true. Just call a spade a spade.
Before we let y'all go, we need to tell your fans the funnest thing you guys have done this offseason. A-Rob, you up?
For me, it was Hawaii for sure.
Hawaii.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, man. Just going out there with my family and stuff like that and being able to, you know, to play in that game, just experience, you know, the island itself. You know,
yeah.
It was special.
What about you? Allen replaced Calvin Johnson, obviously being a Michigan guy. I'm sure that was big for you, right?
I mean, just getting there was big, you know. I mean, if I had to replace anybody else, you know, or the circumstances of that, you know, it was getting there was the most thing for me.
And it's on his resume now, TD, right, Pro Bowler. What about you, Rashad? Funnest thing this offseason?
Three big things happened. One, I got a chance to speak at the White House. That was humbling.
Wow.
And I got
that's dope.
I was asked by my college to come be the keynote commencement speaker.
That's awesome.
Respect.
And I bought my parents a home.
Hey.
Man. That's what's up, man.
Congratulations.
That's what's up. And now you on the R&B podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Rashad and Allen. And remember to subscribe on iTunes, comment, retweet, spread the word with hashtag RANDB. We are out of here.
We gone.